Hey, what's up? This is Sarah, just me today. So, Happy New Year. It's October the 29th. We're about 2 days away from November 1st. New Year's being January 1st is actually, I think, one of the biggest lies in business. I feel like November 1st is the last day of the business year as we know it. The year is practically over in people's minds, and that's not right, but it's just how people think, let's be real. It's almost the holidays, and after November 1st, that's all everyone is talking about. Now, I'm not saying the year's over, you still got to run your business, and you can still get new clients, but it'll be harder, because most people after November 1st will be more likely to say, hey, let's put a meeting on the schedule for next year after the holidays, because, you know, after November 1st, everyone just is focused on the holidays. Now, time is arbitrary now because work is virtual, right? Like, I learned this when I had kids and had a baby and, like, four of them and was up all night and sleeping during the day and working on weekends and sending out emails at 2 a.m. So I feel like time is kind of something that we can mold to be whatever it wants, whatever we want it to be for us, you know? Like, so let's just pretend that today is December 31st, right? We may as well. Now, I don't mean to say stop working, okay? I just want you to understand that the kind of work that you do in the last 2 months of the year can and should be a little bit different. And so here's three things I want to give you, okay? Reflect, revise, and reduce. Now, reflective. I want you to ask yourself questions. And now most of the time, people just ask these questions in January when we come back. But I think that actually right now is probably the better time because you don't have this like new year euphoria going on where it's like clean slate. And you kind of, I think on January 1st, like you're kind of more inclined to forget about all the bad things that happened last year and things that didn't go so well. Like right now we're in the thick of it. We're still running on the treadmill here. So I think it's good because we have these things fresh in our minds. So I think that right now is actually the better time to be reflective. So here are some questions I want y'all to ask yourselves, okay, as we approach November 1st and as we approach as we go through the last 2 months of the year. I want you to write these things down. I want you to get a journal and I want you to write these things down. Did I add more value to clients this year than last year? The answer should be yes. If you did, what was it of value that people found to be of the most value? And how can you do more of it next year? What was of the least value to clients? Now, you're going to have to be really blunt and bold and honest with yourself. But, you know, instead of focusing on dollar signs, like I always get this with marketing. People are like, oh, I want to spend this much and get this much in ROI and this much in that. It's like, why don't we focus on, instead of getting dollars out of it, why don't we focus on putting value into it? Because when you put value into your marketing and you make it meaningful and impactful and different and creative and head-turning, then people notice. It's not just like, I mean, you wouldn't measure your marketing efforts by the dollars you spend, so why would you measure the results by the dollars earned, okay? It has to be a value kind of an understanding, okay? And that's where people went wrong. So the first thing is I want you to look at your practice. Who am I really helping here? Who are the clients that appreciated me most this year? These are great questions to ask, and ask them now while it's fresh in your mind. Am I really working with who I want to? Do I want better clients? What does a better client mean? Does that mean higher AUM? Does that mean more sophisticated planning needs? Does that mean they're just better people? That they're more open to me, that I don't know, you know? What does a better client mean? Not necessarily a client you can make more money off of, but someone that you can just really thrive with and that really gets you and you really connect with. Financial advisors tend to not ask these questions as much. You know, we tend to sometimes focus on the numbers in our practice. We focus less on what are we actually doing for people? You know, what we're saying we're delivering, are we actually delivering that to them? Are they actually getting that? This is the hardest question to ask, okay? All of us as business people are challenged to ask ourselves this question. Do my clients really feel like what I provide is of value to them? And sometimes it's painful because you don't get the answer that you want. But within that honesty, that's the only way you're actually going to get more money in the future and get a bigger practice and get more respect. Because if you're not asking yourself this question, then it means inevitably you're going to be making the same old mistakes as before, and that stinks, and you don't want that. What could I have done better at this year? I mean, I'll admit it, there have been personal failures. You know, like I was doing a project. I mean, this has happened to me a few times. You know, I have four kids, and it seems like every time I have a baby, I always lose at least one client. And I did lose, I had a client relationship that was lost this year, and it kind of stinks because it doesn't look like I'll be getting it back. But, you know, I mean, I try as best as I can to manage it. But when you have a baby, it's just, you know, like a lot of people don't even work for 3 months when they have a baby. And I work like as soon as I come home from the hospital. That has had consequences for me, right? What could I have done better at? Well, I mean, I'm not having any more kids in the future, I don't think. I'm pretty much not planning on it. I have four now. I think that's enough. But, you know, these are questions like that. And there are other the other failures that I have had as a service provider. You know, I'm not proud of them. I can be honest, though, and I can say it. And I think you should be honest, too, because if you were perfect and you were flawless in your business, then I'm sure you would be like probably not having time to even listen to this podcast. I don't know. I could be wrong. You tell me. Right. So that's the reflection part, the revision part of just a few basic things here. Are any of y'all financial advisors actually looking at Google Analytics? Because I get the sense that every time I talk to you, and I'm not shaming you over this, okay? You should be running your business. You probably shouldn't be doing this. You should be having somebody do this for you, okay? But are you actually looking at how much traffic you got on your website? What pages got the most traffic on your website? I will tell you that if you look at your Google Analytics, you're going to find that when people come visit you, the two pages they're going to look at the most are the homepage, maybe the about page, the team page, and secondarily, the fees page. Almost no one's going to look at services. Almost no one's going to look at process. If they're interested, they're going to do contact you, but they're probably not going to contact you the first time they go to your website. Especially if they refer, they probably already have your information. So what does the homepage look like and what does the about page look like? Okay. What kind of traffic is that getting? These should not be the same year in and year out. First of all, there should be at least some kind of change to your practice, right? That you should be making. You should be at least having something new and interesting to offer about your team on the about page or about on that homepage, right? Like, hey, we're launching a new webinar series. Hey, we found this insight or that insight, or we started a newsletter, or we cut our newsletter off or whatever. Like something should have changed on that homepage, right? It's also a little bit better for your Google results if you don't just have the same static website. Google doesn't like that. Google likes people that are constantly throwing fresh ideas onto their websites. The other thing is your LinkedIn profile. Maybe time for a revise. Understand that your LinkedIn profile page is probably coming up first when someone does a Google search on you. Now, look, I can't guarantee anything, but LinkedIn probably has more domain authority than your website, because your website is just like how, I mean, most advisors get less than 2,000 views on their site a month. LinkedIn has however million people. And so if you have a LinkedIn profile page, that is a subdomain of LinkedIn. So try it. If you search your name, chances are that your LinkedIn page is going to come up before your website. So I would put a little bit of time and attention into what does that LinkedIn profile look like? I mean, I have a whole membership on this. Da-da-da-da! Commercial break. I have a whole membership on this. I'll include the links below. But if you haven't looked at that profile, I mean, this is one of the things that I offer people is revision of this profile in my membership. Important. Oh, I'm not on LinkedIn. My clients aren't on LinkedIn. They might not be if they're retired, but chances are they've got a COI or, you know, a relative, a son or daughter. You know, they listen to podcast hosts that are on LinkedIn that you might want to be approaching. There's reporters on LinkedIn. You know, even if you are targeting only people 75 years and older in your practice, I mean, the first question is, why are you doing that, right? Like, you're not interested in Generation X? Okay, that's going to be good for the next 20 years, right? I mean, maybe you're selling your business and you don't care, whatever, okay? LinkedIn's not a useless tool. I have clients that get prospects all the time from LinkedIn. You may not be into it, but you should at least look good on LinkedIn. Spend some time, okay? Now, reduction. Do the reduction exercise. This is super refreshing, I can't even tell you. So understand this, and I'm going to let you in on a little secret. There's a lot of money to be made by convincing people that they need more. They need more of something, right? Like you financial advisors, you do it, right? I once was once in a training session in an insurance company I used to work at, and the trainer said, oh, the person you're talking to, someone, they already have life insurance, just say to them, they need more. Just tell them they need more, 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 more. Everyone's focused on more, 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 right? We marketing people, we do it, right? We see someone's website. We say, you know what? You need another website, or you need more content on that website. You need a blog. You need a podcast. You need a YouTube channel. You need it all. I'm focused. I'll tell you, I'm at the point in my life as a marketing person where I have the strength to be vulnerable and say, I think a lot of you should do less marketing, not more. I sell a product for $35 a month. I mean, this is not even paying for like yesterday's groceries, okay? I sell a product for, you can pay me $35 a month and I'll teach you how to communicate via LinkedIn Messenger in two sentence increments. Two sentence increments, okay? Not gonna focus on like you paying me $3,000 a month for me to run your blog and your podcast and your YouTube channel, okay? I'm talking to you about LinkedIn Messenger, which is a free tool, free to you, $35 a month. Contact 10 people a day and send them a two-sentence message, okay? We'll take you 5 minutes because I'll tell you the words to say. I think there should be less time spent by advisors even a lot of the time on marketing. Do you know how much time it takes to get a blog through compliance? And it's not even a good blog. None of y'all are even saying anything interesting about the mega backdoor Roth conversion. Y'all are saying the same thing. In fact, I know a lot of you just, you'll go to other people's, like when I do a website for people, I got advisors going to other people's websites and telling me, oh, I like his website or her website. And then I write the website and I try not to make it like look the same or sound the same. And then they tell me, but I wanted the same thing he had. Fix it, Sarah. How come you didn't just put, I wanted it to look like her website. I mean, and you all do the same thing with blogs. That's where you get the information from, right? So what I'm saying is like, let's just call it what it is. Stop copying. Stop trying to create your own brand. I mean, it's one thing if you come to this, you have creativity. Like, you want to really, I see some great advisors that are looking to change the world. They're looking to change how people think about things. And they're willing to commit the time to be original. Be honest with yourself. Are you that person? Because I say you're probably not. Most of you listen to this are not. And look, I'm not shaming you on this. I'm saying know who you are as a marketing person. More is always perceived as better. I say if you're not one of these brand builders, one of these kind of want to be a thought leader people, do the opposite. Do less. Spend less time and money on marketing. Reduce, okay? Less content. Less time spent. Less blogs. Do one blog a month. 3 paragraphs. But have it be original and deep and higher quality, higher impact, higher personalization in these LinkedIn communications to people. And then cut it. I mean, go donate your extra money to charity or whatever you want to do with it, right? So what I'm saying is I'm not trying to badmouth anybody, but I just feel like it's 1% of the time that advisors actually say anything original. And I think that as we approach this end of the year where we're reviewing and reflecting, I think you should understand if you're that person and stop making the same mistake. Take it off the list. Like so many people are like, oh, I want to redo the website. I say stop. Take that off the list unless you can be creative and take a risk. Just say this on your website instead. Make a one-page website. Hey, thanks for visiting. I'm Sally. I have really no original thoughts to offer here, so I'd encourage you to just visit any other financial advisor's website for a description of what we financial advisors do. Instead of making a new website, I decided to donate all the money I would have spent to a local charity, Sisters of Mercy, Boise, Idaho. If you think, amnesty, whatever, okay? If you think I'm cool for doing this, then please connect with me. My number is 787, whatever, okay? For example, I'll give you an example, right? For example, as one of the things, sorry for the baby noise. You know, I told you, now she's stuck under a chair. Now, look what you did. See, you went and you got yourself. Now you got to bang your head and make everybody feel bad. Okay. Oh, okay. I'll bet. Now, I'm telling you that as I'm going to be your role model here, and one of the things that I'm not doing next year is I'm not doing advisor websites. when someone approaches me with the website to write, I'm going to really put them through the paces here, and I'm going to make sure and grill them and make sure that they can actually are okay with doing something original on their website. And if it's not, then I'm going to tell them, I'm going to refer them to somebody else I know that can do this. And it may stink for that month because maybe I'm not going to get their money to get paid for this job, but I have to conduct myself with integrity, higher integrity, reduce the things that I feel like are not really going to help people. I'm proud. I'm actually like kind of excited about that. I mean, I'll have more time, you know, and as long as I know that, I think, you know, I'll probably be okay. And then I'll know that I'm not doing something that is not really going to help people. Anyway, so I mean, the other thing is think about in terms of the reduction, think about what can I automate? You know, so many advisors like don't know how to video conference. Let me tell you, I've gotten so much, I've done so much better with my results as in prospecting because I actually will do a video conference instead of like talking on the phone. I practically never talk on the phone anymore except when I talk to somebody that just doesn't get it or can't access Zoom. Like a lot of times people are locked out of it by their certain wirehouses. But it's like, forget about this back and forth. It's like, oh, okay, let's get my administrative assistant to set up the call. Here's Joe. Joe's going to set up the call for us. Let's exchange phone numbers. Oh, what time zone are you in? Oh, you're busy then. When are you free? 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 It's like, you could waste your life setting up meetings. No, here's my Zoom line. Here's my Calendly link. Set up a time, whatever time you set up, let's use this Zoom link. No more of this back and forth. Forget it, okay? Reduce. Anything you can automate, I say do it this year. And also, what do you hate doing? Like, I literally want you in the reflective part of this. I want you to literally get rid of the thing that you hate doing. Like, maybe just don't do it. Outsource it, pay somebody to do it, see if you could do without it. Do something, but don't keep doing things that you hate doing. I mean, is this the life you want to live? Ask yourself this. How I'm running my practice, is this really how I want to run my practice? I got news for you. You don't get extra points for putting yourself through torture. There's no extra rewards for that. In fact, the more torture you put yourself through, the more likely people are to notice, and it's more likely to show in your attitude, and you're not going to be energizing. So there's no premium paid here. It doesn't make you a better financial advisor or a better business person because you're doing things that you hate doing in your business. Do some experiments. That's the other thing. Like people are like, oh, I can't try to be on social media. You know, it has like this whole thing. It's like you're committing. It's like you're buying like an annuity or something. You know what I'm saying? Like this is not permanent. Like there's no withdrawal fee. Okay. There's no like redemption charge. Okay. These are not like Class C shares or whatever, the back-end load shares. See, I'm like so out of the business, I don't even know these things anymore. I probably should look that up. But anyways, do some experiments. Like you can always go back. You can always fix it. This is not permanent, any of these things I'm talking about, okay? So, Happy New Year. November 1st is coming up. That's our business new year, according to me, Sarah Grillo. Reflect, revise, reduce, and if you really want to reduce the time spent on marketing, let's talk about my membership. Try it. It's going to be in the show notes below. Thanks for listening, everybody.